Grace, mercy, and peace be yours in abundance from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Focus of our message here today is on Mark chapter 11, verses 1 to 11, the gospel reading you heard just a few moments ago. I wanted to highlight, however, just verse 3. If anyone asks you, why are you doing this? Tell him, the Lord needs it. It's fairly safe to say that on land, Jesus never rode. I know that there are those pictures at Christmas time of pregnant Mary riding on a donkey. We don't know that that ever happened. We do know that Jesus walked all over the place. In fact, he even walked on water a couple of times to get where he wanted to go, but riding was something different. So it was a little bit of an unusual command when Jesus said to the disciples that day, go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. Now, it's probably Peter and John, and they probably hesitated a little bit. I mean, just to put it in perspective, it would be like your Jesus and the disciples were walking along, and Jesus said, there's a village up ahead, parked on the side of the road is a car with the keys in the ignition, start it up and bring it back. And if anybody says to you, where are you going in my car? Well, the Lord needs it. Oh yeah, sure, no problem. All of a sudden, it kind of puts in perspective, doesn't it? So here they are, wondering what Jesus is getting at. Are you sure about this, Jesus? I mean, somebody might wonder why we're walking off with this thing. And at the very least, they might have given Jesus a little, okay, we'll do that. So do it, right? Or don't do it. Go get the donkey. I mean, it doesn't really make sense. It's a little bit awkward. Could be uncomfortable, could even be dangerous if people get a little angry about walking off with their donkey, so don't do it, right? I mean, we might think so anyway. Let's be frank, we probably have done so. I mean, how many times haven't we heard the word of the Lord to love others, and we've kind of gone, really? Are you sure? How many times haven't we heard the word of the Lord to listen to the word of the Lord, but failed to actually do what it says? How many times haven't we heard the word of the Lord say, let the word of the Lord dwell in you richly, only to limit our time in the word to a couple of minutes on a Sunday morning? How many times haven't we heard the word of the Lord to let our light shine in this world, only to hide our light under the basket, just figuring somebody else will let their light shine in the darkness? Come on, Lord, it doesn't make sense. It's awkward. Could be dangerous. Come on, Lord, you can't be expecting that from me. And so Jesus, just as he lovingly reassured the disciples in words of our text this morning, he says to you and me, if anyone asks you, why are you doing this? Tell him, the Lord needs it. You can probably almost hear those disciples muttering something under their breath like, if you say so, Lord. But in faith and trust, they went. St. Augustine described it this way. He wrote, faith is to believe what you do not see. The reward of this faith is to see what you believed. And when they arrived in the village, it all happened, just as Jesus said. They arrived, the donkey was there, some people questioned him, they said the Lord has need of it, and the people just went, sure, go ahead, take it. The disciples must have been absolutely shocked. But before we get too far down that road, we need to pause and take a little closer look at a curious phrase. Psalm 24 is the appointed psalm for today. And it helps us put in perspective those words, the Lord needs it. It's a curious phrase when you think about it, right? Does God really need anything? Psalm 24 tells us the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. So what could the Lord of all creation possibly need from human beings? I mean, we human beings certainly need him. We needed him who in very nature is God to consider equality with God something not to be grasped. We needed him to make himself nothing, to take on the very nature of a servant, to be made in human likeness. We desperately needed him to humble himself and become obedient to death, even death on a cross, because without the sacrifice of his innocent life, our guilty lives would be forever lost in our transgressions and sins. Oh yeah, we absolutely need him. And we needed him to indeed be raised from death, so that we too can look forward to our own rising to eternal life. We need him. And so we're kind of left asking, what could the Lord of creation possibly need from a human being? And in this case, it was a donkey. The Lord needs it. Well, the answer to that is found in that word need. If you look at that word need in the original Greek, you'll find that it's used a number of other places in the New Testament. For example, it's the same word that Jesus used when he lovingly assured, "Your heavenly Father knows what you need." And it's the same word that Jesus used to confront the Pharisees. He said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick." And it's the same word that Jesus used when he was trying to help his disciples see the big picture on that grassy hillside where thousands were to be fed. "They do not need to go away to be fed. You give them something to eat." And it was the same word that the high priest used for Jesus as he condemned him for blasphemy. He said, "We do not need any more testimony. You have heard it from his own lips." Now, if you listen closely, in every one of those situations, that word need was used for the benefit of others. So to kind of put that into perspective, Jesus needed that donkey that day, not because he needed it, but because we needed him to need it. I'm going to say that again because it's a little bit of Dr. Seuss going on right there. Jesus didn't need that donkey that day. He needed that donkey because we needed him to need that donkey, because it's all part of God's plan of salvation. And you heard about it just a few moments ago from the prophet Zechariah. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Hundreds of years before it would happen, Zechariah called it under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. In other words, Jesus needed to fulfill that prophecy because we needed him to fulfill that prophecy. Jesus needed a donkey that day because we needed him to need that donkey. And that's just one of the blatantly specific, easy for me to say, sorry, between my trying to choke back a cough and say the word specific, it didn't go very well. That's just one of the blatantly just a second. That is one of the blatantly specific prophecies that were stated in the Old Testament that Jesus needed to fulfill in order to show that he was and is the promised Messiah. Pastor Cordes talked about this a number of weeks ago, but it bears repeating. Understand that there are more than 300 prophecies about Jesus in the Old Testament. And if he were to fulfill even 8 of those 300, people have figured out that it would be a 1 in 100 million billion chance of fulfilling 8 of those 300 prophecies. 1 in 100 million billion. And here's the illustration If you were to take silver dollars, you'd 100 million billion silver dollars would fill the state of Texas to a depth of about 2 feet. And then, if you were to put a mark on one of those silver dollars and put it somewhere in the state of Texas, and then told somebody to go and find that silver dollar with one chance to pick it up, fulfilling 8 of those 300 prophecies would be like that person wandering into the state of Texas, reaching down and coming up with the marked silver dollar. One in 100 million billion. That is how you put into perspective Jesus fulfilling just 8 of those 300 prophecies. And yet, here he is fulfilling all of them, one clear, blatant example on Palm Sunday as Jesus rode into Jerusalem. We needed him to ride into Jerusalem on a donkey that day, and it couldn't even be a donkey. It had to be the foal, the colt of the donkey. It was that specific. Jesus riding into Jerusalem, and that's exactly what he did because we needed him to do it. We needed him to fulfill those prophecies because that was God's plan for our salvation. Jesus needed that donkey because you and I needed him to ride it. Though he rode into Jerusalem with shouts of acclamation and waving palm branches and coats strewn in front of him and cries of joy, he needed to do it, just as the hymnist accurately puts it, in lowly pomp, riding on to die so that you and I can live. So now what does the Lord need? He has bought you, he has redeemed you, he has purchased you and renewed you and recreated you for an eternal life with him. What does he need you for? He needs you for his kingdom work. And I know we've already established that God doesn't need anything, and yet it's clear that God has created and sanctified us with a deep spiritual need to say thank you for all that he's done for us in Christ, to use these gifts, these opportunities, these talents, and put them to use in God's kingdom. The need, therefore, is his need. You've been gifted with time and talents and treasure and a gift of testimony to share what you believe, and the Lord has need of it, not just for your sake, but for the sake of his kingdom. And for the people who have such a desperate need to have the same hope that you and I have, the message of Jesus Christ and him crucified. So whatever it is with which you've been blessed, consider it, give thanks for it, and then give it. Lay it before him, shout it about him, wave it at him, and rejoice, daughter of Jerusalem, for your Lord has need of it. For the benefit of his kingdom, for the benefit of his people, and the furthering of his kingdom. Amen. Right on, King Jesus. Let no one hinder you. Amen.